Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Pornography use reaches a crisis level among Christians. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, this data is really, really shocking, but it needs to be discussed, particularly in the church, because this is at crisis level when you have 75% of Christian men and 40% of Christian women acknowledge they have viewed pornography on some level. And that's an 11-point rise for the men and 25-point rise for the women over the last 8 years.
Yeah, for comparison, Barna notes that 61% of adults in the general public use porn, a 6-point increase in 8 years, where the national average is about 64% for men and 44% for women.
That means more Christians are viewing pornography than the average public.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
We have a press release that we did, and it starts off by saying, pornography use among Christians, including pastors, has now surpassed national averages for Americans in general, and this rise is doing so largely unchecked. The new data suggests a majority of Christian men and a rising percentage of Christian women view pornography occasionally, while a majority of pastors have struggled with porn use at some point in their lives.
Yeah, so Barna's study also shows that 67% of pastors say they have personal history of porn use at some point in their life, with 18% of pastors admitting it is a current struggle. That is a problem.
This is in a Barna 2024 study, and it's called Beyond the Porn Phenomenon, and that's where a lot of these statistics are presented by the Barna Group, which is a resource for studies and surveys such as this. I remember when we took some young girl to, we took a lot of young people to Israel with our Covenant Journey ministry. And I remember this one young girl. It was a trip that I was not on, this particular one, but Cindy Matthews was the leader on that particular case and that particular group, along with another teacher. And this was a young girl who had an amazing Christian testimony, was somebody who was in a foreign land that was Muslim-dominated and survived twice the attempt by Muslims to kill her and her mom with miraculous story. And in fact, she had shared that testimony in a number of places, and it's very, very compelling. And she was somebody who was a professed Christian. I remember there was a time when we had, toward the very end of that particular event, we have a 10-day program that's really life-changing for these young people. And there was a man that we bring in, a Messianic Jewish person from Israel, a devout believer in the Lord Jesus. And he spoke to the group and he said that he would be available for prayer at the end of the meeting. And so a number of the young people lined up to speak with him. And when this girl came to him, he said, it was almost like it was written on her forehead, stop sleeping with your boyfriend. And he actually told her that, stop sleeping with your boyfriend. She was totally shocked. It hit her like a ton of bricks. Nobody knew except for her and her boyfriend. Come to find out, what happened is she had become addicted to pornography. And this would be a turning point in her life. And how she became addicted to pornography is when she immigrated to the United States in California from escaping all this attempted murder and slaughter by the Muslims in her country. She was given a computer, a laptop. And that's what ultimately got her into pornography, and she became addicted to it. And this was a turning point in her life. You would never know that by listening to her story or by seeing her from observation. And one of the things that is clear in this report is not only the startling levels of pornography, but also when people are asking for help to their pastors, what kind of resources are they getting right. from their churches?
Well, in the attitude, I mean, you see the attitude toward pornography, especially among young adults and teens, they're more accepting to that and think that it's part of their healthy sexual life. But when 82% of Christians are asked, who is helping you with your struggle with pornography? Thankfully, they admit that. They say, no one.
Yeah, they have many of them say no one.
And but of all places, you should be able to go to the church. And there's some great ministries like Pure Desire, Proven Ministries. They're all available to help the churches better equip the staff to help these people that are struggling. And even many of the pastors are struggling with it.
Yeah, on an encouraging note, however, the study does show that some Christians are approaching their pastors and their church leaders with these issues. Barna indicated 75% of pastors were ministering to congregants struggling with porn use. And similarly, the Brush Fires Foundation reported that 7 out of 10 pastors, or 73% in the study, reported being approached several times a year by congregants with pornography-related issues. Of all the sexual issues brought to the pastors in the Brush Fire study, 64% involved porn use by a husband, 59% by a teen, 57% by an unmarried adult, 24% by a minor, and 16% by a wife, despite only 35% of pastors feeling that they are very qualified to handle these issues. 86% of them reported conducting pastoral counseling, and slightly more than half provided referrals to outside resources.
You know, and like that example you gave earlier, that young lady, I think you can pretty much tie all of it back to the computer or on the phone, social media. It all starts there. It's so accessible nowadays for, and I believe it's as young as 10 years old was the first views pornography. It's 10 years old, but with a computer, it's so easy now.
We had another girl totally different from the one I'm talking about. These are Christian college age students that have demonstrated a Christian testimony. They get selected based upon their criteria of demonstrating a Christian testimony and their leadership that they've demonstrated. So these are people who are leaders already. And another girl I do know came on one of these Covenant Journey trips that we did to Israel, had a life transformative experience, went back to her church and gave a presentation to her church because she too had become addicted to pornography through the internet.
Wow.
And she wanted to help other people overcome that addiction. So it is something that is systemic in all age groups, and it is breaking up families, and it is hurting individuals. And in their stories, they talk about how it has harmed them individually, their concept of who they are, their place in God's will, and in their relationships.
And as well as the church. I mean, if the pastor is struggling with this, if there's no accountability on the pastor's behalf and what the pastor is doing, it's going to eventually destroy the church as well as the pastor. I mean, you see almost every week there are pastors that are falling to immorality. Well, just connect the dots and go back, and you'll probably see that's the source.
There's a pastor in 2024 in the Central Florida area, and had a thriving church and just went on a Journeys of Paul, leading the Journeys of Paul trip of his church. And one of his children were, I think, on that trip as well. And while he is there in Greece, I believe, he called back to his other daughter at home because he needed to have her access something on his laptop. And when she went to the laptop, she found some things that were very disturbing to her. So
that had been going on for years.
It had been going on for a while. You would never know it by this particular pastor,
right,
based upon what you would see. And she reported it to her mom. The mom then reported it to the leaders of the church. And after he returned a week later, he committed suicide. A very tragic
situation. So it destroyed his life, his family's life, and the church.
Yeah. And so this is a real issue for pastors, church leaders, for families to be aware of. This Barna report doesn't give answers. It just shows that this is a problem. And some of the answers, obviously, is that the church needs to be aware of this and be a home of healing and a hospital for those who are spiritually suffering, for the wounded, for those who need help. And this is just one of many areas. Church needs to be real and transformative for all ages of people. So I encourage you to speak with your church leaders about this issue, because it is something that is pervasive and it is something that can be overcome. But you need to, number one, understand the issue and then have a plan of attack to address it and set the captives free. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.